Thank you. We're all going to sing it, and we're all going to lift our hands. bow down and worship the Lord, for He is worthy. He is worthy of our praise. The Bible says that He inhabits our praise, that He lives in our praises. Says it is good to sing praise unto our God. It's good to praise Him. That means it's bad not to praise Him. If it's good to praise Him, then that means it's bad not to praise Him. I don't know about you, but I want to do what is good. I want to worship the Lord. How many of you can say amen? Come on, let's sing it out together. Lift your hands. Lift your voice.
Glory, praise.
the glory goes to you, Lord, because you alone are worthy. You alone deserve all glory. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here with us. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us today. We thank you, Lord, you are in the midst of us today. And Lord, we welcome you. We ask you to have your way, to touch every life, touch every heart, minister to each and every person. We thank you, Lord, for your healing power that is in this place today. And I thank you, Lord, that your healing power is flowing in this place, driving out sickness and disease, bringing healing and wholeness and wellness in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for delivering people. We thank you for breaking bondages today. We thank you for removing depression today. We thank you, Lord, for lifting heaviness today. We thank you, Lord, for breaking every yoke, every oppression in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing, for your presence. We thank you for your joy, for your peace today. We thank you for the privilege that we have of knowing you. We're so thankful, Lord, that we have been redeemed. We're so thankful that our name has been written down in your book of life. We're so thankful, Lord, that heaven is our eternal habitation. We're so thankful that you are with us and you never leave us and you never forsake us. We're so thankful for your Holy Spirit, whom you've given to lead and guide us. We're so thankful for the angels of God that encamp around us and protect us. We're so thankful for your promises, Lord, that are yes and amen. We're so thankful that you watch over your word to perform it, to make it good. For you're not a man that you should lie, and if you've spoken, shall you not do it? Lord, we believe that you've done it before, and you will do it again. And we stand here today to give you praise and to proclaim there's no God like our God. There's nobody like Jesus. You alone, God, deserve all the glory and all the honor. If you believe that today, I want you to give the Lord a big hand of praise. Where the presence of God is there. I love coming to a church that believes in worshiping God. I love coming to a church that proclaims the Word of God. How about you? I love coming to a church where everybody is welcome. I love coming to a church where we recognize that we love one another, that we are one in Christ. There's neither male nor female. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither Greek nor Hebrew. There's neither black nor white. We want in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor today and shake their hand and tell them you're glad to be there.
My son Luke and his wife Francesca have one child, Roman, and it's his birthday today, first birthday. And so we took a drive down yesterday for the birthday party, and what really blessed me was that, because they're part of a church in Miami, and the family, the church family came. A whole bunch of people came, and when it was time to sing happy birthday, they prayed over him and they thanked God for him and they prayed for his health and provision in the years to come. And I thought, what better than having a family around you to agree with you in faith and stand with you for your needs, and you stand with them when they have issues and things to deal with, right? So it's good to be part of the church that God has formed. Amen. Wonderful. Welcome to those who are watching online. We're glad you've joined us today. And it's just, technology is awesome. And you just have to be at home, but who wants to be at home when you could be here, right? So I just want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time today. We're so glad when we have visitors in our church. We often, we've met some people before the service, but if you are here for the first time, what we like to do is just give you a gift bag right where you're sitting. We're not going to embarrass you. But if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand right where you are? God bless you. Welcome. God bless you. In the gift bags, a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. We hope that it encourages you. Just put it in your CD player if you still own something like that. Well, our car still has that. And we hope that message will be a blessing to you. And then there's a white card. If you just take a moment and fill that out, it'll give you a pastor an opportunity to call you. Just find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you for doing that today. Give our visitors a big hand. Right now, family, at this time in the service, we're going to receive our offering. And it's our opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. Amen. See, we're mixing it up. We don't know what's coming next. This was later. We're doing it now. And I'd just like to read you one passage of scripture, just a couple of verses. As you prepare yourself, there are envelopes on the seats where you're sitting, and there's ways to give that will come up on the screen, various ways to give. Those who are watching online, you can give online. But I want to read this passage in the book of Philippians, where Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. And how many of you know that whatever Paul writes to the church in Philippi applies to the church in Jupiter too, right? And so in Philippians 4 verse 15, he wrote this. He said, "And you Philippians know that in the early days of preaching the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I do seek the profit which increases to your heavenly account. The blessing which is accumulating for you." You know, people sometimes have the wrong concept of offerings and giving, and they sometimes have the wrong concept of motives behind receiving an offering. But the Word of God is very clear, and Paul teaches that he says to this church, who were a church that gave, he noticed that he said that giving and receiving were linked. Isn't that interesting? God, Jesus said, "Give and it shall be given, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men give back to you." So there is, receiving is attached to giving. He's reminding them of that. They've been giving, but he's reminding them that there's receiving that's attached to it. But you can't have one without the other. So sometimes we, you know, you talk about having a handout. Sometimes, you know, you like, "Give me, give me, give me." You want people to give to you if you have a need. But the Bible says the way to get to receive is to give, right? They are linked. So if we need to receive, then we should be giving. And, you know, so Pastor Steve and I, we, and other churches all over the world, we teach on tithing and giving, not to take from you. Because Paul said, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that comes to your heavenly account. So too, when we receive an offering here, it's not to receive from you, but it's to get you into a position where you can walk in the blessings of God. Amen? Amen. And follow the word and the principles. And then I'll carry on reading. It says, "But I have received everything in full and more. I am amply supplied." I like the sound of that. having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent me. They are the fragrant aroma of an offering, an acceptable sacrifice which God welcomes and in which he delights. Another translation says, God takes pleasure in this, in offerings that come to him. And I love that. I mean, we all want to please God, right? But do you know that giving pleases God? In fact, it comes up, so we believe, we know that he's in heaven. The Bible says our giving is like a candle you just lit in the room that lets off this pleasant aroma as we give. It pleases God. He says, and my God will liberally supply, fill to the full, your every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, you know, who has a need? He says, any need. Who has any need in this room? We all have need in certain ways, in certain areas. The Bible says that when we follow God's principles, that God himself will fill to the full and amply supply every need that we have. Do we believe that?
Yes.
We believe that, right? So let's get in line with that and believe that as we give, he meets our needs. Amen? We don't give in order to say, well, I'll give because I want to get. No, that's not our motive. But we better know and we better believe that he's going to bless us as we do. Amen? So, you know, right now is the time where we bring our tithe to the Lord. The Bible teaches it's real simple math. Give the first fruits. We bring the first fruits, the first tenth of our income to the Lord. How many of you, God has blessed you this week? You've got a job. You've earned money. Sometimes we're always thinking of what we don't have. But thank God for what we do have. You know, we were driving down to Roman's birthday party yesterday. I could get myself miserable and go like, why do all my grandkids live so far away? What don't I have? I never get to see him. But I said, I'm so grateful that all I have to do is get in the car and drive, and I can see him. How don't you choose to think? Thank God for what we have. Amen? And let's honor him with what he's given us and what he's blessed us with. That he makes us generous of spirit. Right? Did you want to say something? My dear? I can see that look on your face.
Well, praise God. You know, it's amazing how that giving brings increase in your life. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Giving brings increase. Because Jesus said, give, and it will be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, men will give it to your bosom. So, realize that as we give to God, the Bible says we're going to see increase in our life.
Amen.
So if you're sitting here during offering time and you're like, well, I can't afford to give, you didn't get it yet. You didn't get it yet. Because as you give, that's what brings increase. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, it says, there is one who scatters, yet increases. And there is one who withholds, yet it leads to poverty. So it's amazing. Holding on to what you have and not giving to God will lead to poverty. But giving to God will lead to increase. Right, Monique? Praise God. And I want to just say this, that I want to say thank you to everyone. To all of our faithful givers and tithers in this church. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. And I want to say thank you to everyone who's given toward our new building. We're very excited to get into our new building. I think the most excited people of everybody is our setup team. Right, Miguel? But they get here at 6:30 every Sunday morning to set up. Praise God. So they are very excited for our new building. I am too. And we take possession of our building January 1st. Then we start build out. And I'm hoping and trusting that we can get the build out done between 2 and 3 months. We have a number of people in our church that are going to be helping. We have the general contractors in our church. We have a number of people, electricians and plumbers and what have you. We're going to try and do as much of the work as we can from our own members, because they're going to give us a good deal.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, I have a little bit of Jewish blood in me, right? I'm not joking, I do. I think I'm 1/8 Jewish. I believe in negotiation. I want to just let you know that if you know people who know me, I like to get good news. So everything we do in our church, I just want you to know, we're going to spend every dollar wisely. We are going to get the best deals on everything that we do, aren't we? Amen. So thank you for giving toward our new building. We start build out in January. I just want to let you know where we're at. You know, this was really a miracle the Lord did for us in providing this building. All we really have had to come up with was $75,000 down, which is the first 6 months of the mortgage payment. And the reason that the owner asked for that is because he's financing it. We're not applying to a bank. And it was really good faith money. So really, what's happening is the first 6 months, when we take occupation in January, we will not have to pay that mortgage for 6 months because we already would have paid it. So while we're doing the build out, we won't have a situation where we're paying for a mortgage and paying in the hotel and paying for build out. We'll have the mortgage paid for 6 months. Amen. Plus, we're going to have the money we need to do the build out, and so it's all working out, right? So I want to say thank you to everyone who's given. We still, at the beginning of October, we have a $50,000 payment that is due. We still need about $40,000 of that money. And also, we're trusting God. We've got to raise the money to do the build-out. And I think the build-out's going to cost about $100,000 to $150,000 to do. You know, we're renovating the bathrooms. It's a big job. I had one quote for $500,000, just to let you know. A man quoted me $500,000. I said, bye-bye. I don't have a good witness about this one. And so I'm believing we're going to do it for about $150,000. So thank you to everyone who has given to our new building. And I want to ask you to really pray. And if whatever you're able to do to help us, this is a time where we need your help to move in the building. We're facing a bit of a challenge. But I believe the Lord is faithful, and I believe every need will be met, and I believe we'll have every dollar we need, and I see us in our new building, and let me just let you know it's going to be better than the last one. The last one. Amen. Better than the last one. Amen. So I want you to please hold your envelope. Hand me our envelope. I want you to hold your envelope in your hand, because we're going to pray, and in the Old Testament, when they brought their tithes and offerings, they'd bring it to the priest, and the priest would proclaim the blessing. Today, we bring our tithes and offerings to Jesus. He's our high priest, and he receives it, and he presents it to the Father. I want you to know, this is a very holy thing we're about to do. The Bible says God takes pleasure in our giving. It really is pleasing to him. So I hold your offering, your envelope in your hand, and let's say this together. I want us to make our confession together. Our tithe confession. Would you put that up there for me? Say this out with me, everybody. Because I support
God's kingdom
by tithing and giving,
God has pleasure
in my prosperity.
Say,
therefore, I am believing God. Say it again. I am believing God. For jobs and better jobs. Finding money, but bills paid off, interest and income, creative ideas, houses and land, grants and scholarships. Say, thank you, Lord, for meeting all my financial needs, that I have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Do you believe that today? What are you doing? That's kind of, some people think it's kind of strange. What are you doing? We are simply declaring and speaking faith over our finances. We're declaring God's word, that the windows of heaven are open above us, that blessings are chasing after us. That's what we're doing, amen?
Yes.
We're getting in agreement with God, right?
Yes.
Praise God. Ushers, are you ready today?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Thank you. Would you go ahead, please, and pass the offering baskets or bags today? And we're going to get into God's Word this morning. Are you ready for God's Word today?
Yes.
Anyone bring their Bible to church with them today?
Yeah.
If you brought your Bible, hold it up and wave it around like this. If you're going to use your phone, hold that up. Now today, that phone is your Bible. So that means you're not looking at Facebook, social media, Instagram. Listen, live without that for the next 30 minutes. Listen to the Word of God this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your Word today. Thank you, Lord. For your Word is what gives us wisdom. Your Word is what builds our faith. Your Word is what gives us direction. Your Word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Lord, as I stand today to teach your Word, I make it known that I'm trusting you to enable me, to anoint me. Thank you, Lord, that you speak through me today. And I give you all the honor and all the praise for everything that is said and everything that is done in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone said amen.
Amen.
Now listen, today I want to speak about standing the gap. And really it's about praying for other people. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse number 1, the Bible says, I urge you, first of all, say first of all.
First of all.
Notice it says first of all. To pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf. And give thanks for them. The Bible says we're supposed to pray for all people. Right? Not just me, my wife, my son John, his wife, us four no more. No, we're supposed to pray for all people. I'm talking about praying for others. I mean, it's good to pray for yourself. Don't misunderstand me. It's good. You need to pray for yourself. Pray for your dreams. Pray for your needs. Pray for wisdom. Pray for guidance. Ask God to help you overcome those difficulties. That's all good. And that's important. But don't stop there. Because you have the ability to help somebody else. To reach their destiny. And you know, there's people God's put in your life. That they will not become who God created them to be without you praying for them.
Amen.
I mean, they don't have the faith to accomplish their dreams. They won't break the addiction. They won't overcome that challenge without you stepping up and asking God on their behalf. In James chapter 5, in verse number 16, the Bible says, pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Say, I've got great power. Isn't that what it said? Now, you know, you don't have to go to them physically. I'm talking about in your own private prayer time. Just not focusing on your own needs and your own goals and your own dreams, but taking time every day to pray for others. I would encourage you to look around who's in your life. That neighbor that seems down, or that co-worker that's struggling, or that person you heard about's got cancer. Listen, that didn't come up by accident. God brought them across your path because he's counting on you to lift them up. Are you with me? If I hear about someone who's in trouble, I don't take that as I heard by accident. God wants me to pray for them. Well, someone said, Pastor Steve, I've got my own problems, you know. I've got my own issues. I've got my own dreams. I need someone to pray for me. Do you know what's amazing? Do you know when you pray for others, you are sowing a seed for God to help you? I said, when you pray for others, you're sowing a seed for God to help you. Do you know when Job was overcome with so many difficulties? I mean, his world turned upside down. Do you know that he didn't just pray for himself? Do you know that he prayed for his friends? Do you know what the Bible says in Job 42, in verse number 8? It says, God said, my servant Job will pray for you. And I will accept his prayer on your behalf. And I will not treat you as you deserve. For you have not spoken accurately about me like my servant Job has. So Eliphaz, the Temanite, and Bildad, the Shuite, and Zophar, the Naamanite, or whatever. I mean, those are some... Glory, glory. Thank God my name is Steve Barrett. They did as the Lord commanded, and the Lord accepted Job's prayer. And look what it says in verse 10. When Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as before. Isn't it amazing? Family, when he prayed for his friends,
yes,
is when God restored things for him. Could it be that if you would take time to pray for others, then what you are struggling with would turn around? Your health, your dreams, your breakthroughs would show up if you'd start praying for other people? In Galatians 6 verse 2, the Bible says, bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The Bible says we're supposed to share one another's, bear one another's burdens. We weren't meant to carry the load on our own. We need each other. Life can be heavy. People are lonely. They've been through disappointments. They're dealing with illnesses. Sometimes they smile on the outside, but they're hurting on the inside. They've got stress and pressure that we don't even know anything about. And when you pray for them, it helps to lighten the load. You see, your prayers cause the angels to go to work. Chains that are holding them back begin to loosen. And depression that's trying to sour their life, when you speak victory over them, the forces of darkness begin to lose their grip. And it may not happen overnight, but let me tell you, your prayers make a difference. Your prayer may be what's keeping them going. They may not even know you pray. You may not get any credit. But you know what you do in secret? Jesus said, what you do in secret, God will reward you in the open. When I meet people, let me tell you, the favorite thing that they tell me is not, hey, Pastor Steve, I love listening to your sermons. The favorite thing people tell me is, Pastor Steve, I'm praying for you. That's the thing I love to hear. I'm praying for you, Pastor Steve. See, when you pray for someone, you're not just sending out good wishes. You're not just saying good luck. Hope it goes well for you. A lot of people today, when they say I'm praying for you, they're actually not praying for you. They're saying good luck. You know what I'm saying? All the people that say I'm praying for you ain't praying for you. They're just saying, well, I'm praying for you. It means good luck. If I tell you I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you. You see, prayer moves the hands that rule the world. Prayer causes the God who created the universe to make things happen that you could never make happen on your own. In the book of Revelation, John had a revelation of heaven, and he described what he saw in heaven. And he saw all these angels around the throne of God, and they were constantly worshiping God. The Bible says, night and day, they do not cease. They cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. But look what happens in Revelation chapter 8. It says in Revelation chapter 8, verse number 1, it says, then he opened the seventh seal, and there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. So here you've got the angels around the throne worshiping God 24 hours a day. Then all of a sudden, for 24 hours, there's silence in heaven. That's what I said. What did I say? Just testing you. Yeah, for 30 minutes. And look what it says. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it. Notice this. He should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar that was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, ascend before God from the angel's hand. Listen, this is how powerful prayer is. In heaven, there's all this singing, all this worshiping. Then all of a sudden, the angels stop singing. All of a sudden, the heavenly host are silent for 30 minutes. What could be so important that heaven came to a standstill? Was there something wrong? Was there emergency? No, all of heaven stopped. You know why? To listen to the prayers coming up from God's people. Think about that. All of heaven comes to a standstill. Prayers of the saints come up like incense before the throne of God. Do you know that your prayers go up before the throne of God like incense? You might think nobody's listening, but let me tell you right now, you know, sometimes your head will tell you no one's concerned about you, you're wasting your time. No, when you pray, just imagine that the angels get quiet. The musicians in heaven stop playing. Gabriel says to God, I've silenced everything because I heard a prayer coming up from one of your children. Somebody believes that you can do the impossible. Somebody's counting on you to heal a friend from cancer, to turn a child around, to break an addiction. Then when you pray, powerful things happen. All of heaven stops. The creator of the universe comes to attention, and that's when supernatural things take place. Let me tell you, when you pray, red seas are parted. When you pray, new buildings show up. When you pray, you overcome those illnesses. Amen. I'm asking you today, don't just pray for yourself. Pray for others. Use this power to help somebody else to reach their highest potential. Amen. Amen. In Acts chapter 12, King Herod, and he was king of the Jewish nation, and he was against the church. What did I say? King Herod was the king of the Jewish nation, the Jewish people. Right? We can talk about this later if you want. King Herod was not only just arresting believers, but he had James killed. James was the brother of Jesus, or the half-brother, you might say, of Jesus. And when, the Bible says, when Herod saw how much it pleased the people, he was planning on doing the same thing to Peter. He had Peter arrested, and he had him put into the deepest dungeon, the most secure part of the prison. But on the night before Peter was to go on trial, the Bible says in Acts 12 verse 5, while Peter was being kept in jail, the church never stopped praying to God for him. The church is praying. They're praying. And they're praying. And they're praying for Peter. And it says the night before he was about to be put on trial, he was asleep. Now that's amazing to me. Because if I'm about to be put on trial for my life, I don't know if I'm sleeping. But he's asleep. He's bound between two chains. A soldier is guarding him on each side. Two other soldiers were guarding the entrance to the jail. So he's sleeping between two soldiers. Is that what it says? Two soldiers outside. Suddenly an angel from the Lord appeared, and light flashed around the cell. And the angel poked Peter in the side and woke him up. He said, quick, get up. And the chains fell off of his hands. The angel said, get dressed. Put on your sandals. And Peter did what he was told. And then the angel said, now put on your coat and follow me. So Peter left with the angel, but he thought everything was a dream. He thought he's dreaming. They went past the two groups of soldiers. And when they came to the iron gates to the city, it opened by itself. They went out and they were going along the street when all at once the angel disappeared. Peter realized what had happened. And he said, I'm certain the Lord sent his angel to rescue me from Herod and from everything the Jewish leaders planned to do to me. Then Peter went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark. And many of the Lord's followers had come together, and they were praying. Now here's what's interesting. This scripture specifically says that the people were praying for Peter. Is that true? But it doesn't say anything about then anyone praying for James. There's nowhere in the Bible that it says they were praying for James, but it specifically tells us they were praying for Peter. They were in the same circumstance, but they had totally different results. And while we rejoice over what God did for Peter, I wonder if James had people praying for him, maybe he wouldn't have lost his life. Maybe the Lord would have sent his angel. Maybe he would have been delivered. I don't know. Maybe that angel would have shown up. Maybe Herod would have changed his mind if somebody had been praying for James. Here's my challenge. Don't let there be a James in your life. All your family, all your friends, your co-workers, they should be Peters. You should be covering them in prayer. You should be asking God to strengthen them, to help them, to protect them, to save them. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Pray that they'll be guided by God. Pray that that your prayer can make the difference, family. Your prayer can cause the angel to show up in their life. And when you go to God on somebody else's behalf, let me tell you, heaven comes to attention. God is concerned about what concerns you. And some people don't have the faith to believe on their own. They may not be living right. They don't think they deserve it. But because you're honoring God, because you took the time to pray, God will bless them for your sake. God will help them for your sake. You have a gift. You can help someone else succeed. On their own, they can't do it. On their own, they're a James. But when you pray, prison doors open. When you pray, addictions are broken. When you pray, the right people show up. Are you using your gift? Are you praying for others? Because let me tell you, life is too short. Only thinking about my dreams, my goals, my needs, my desires. That's a shallow way to live. You'll never be, let me tell you a secret. You will never be truly fulfilled. You need other people to stand in faith with you. And when you develop this habit of praying for others, let me tell you, God will make sure there'll always be plenty of people praying for you. Because how many of you know what you give comes back to you? Amen. When I'm praying for, I thought about it. I mean, I probably pray most of my time for other people. Most of the time I pray, I'm praying for others. I'm very rarely praying for myself. Most of the time I'm praying for others because that's part of my job. Amen. You know what I'm saying? People think I get paid to pray. You get paid to do this. Deuteronomy 32 verse 30 says, how can one person chase 1,000 of them and two people put 10,000 to flight? One can chase 10,000, two together can put 10,000 to flight. That means you're 10 times more powerful when you've got somebody praying for you. That's why I pray for you every day. I pray for your dreams, I pray for your needs. I pray for your family. I pray for your health. I pray for your freedom. I pray for your abundance. I pray for strength, for guidance for you. I spend more time praying for other people than I do praying for me. And I really believe that God blesses me abundantly because of that. Pray for hurting people. Your prayer could keep an accident from happening. Your prayer could lift a heavy burden from the family. Our lawyer, our attorney, Dave Volkerian. Every time I speak to him, he asks me, are you praying for me? Are you still praying for me? He said, the only one thing I'm going to ask you, Pastor Steve, will you pray for me? And every time I see him, he says, you're praying? I say, yes. He says, thanks, it's making a difference. It's making a difference. You see, you don't meet people by accident. God puts people in your lives. He causes you to notice certain people. Maybe you're at the grocery store. Maybe you're at the gym. Anyone go to the gym yet? One. Two. Whatever. God caused someone to stand out to you. You see that person, they just look down, they look lonely. And then you're praying, pray for them. Just under your breath, Lord, bless that person. Strengthen that person. Help them live in victory. When I go past a car accident, I always pray for them. Yeah. I didn't even know that. Pastor Joel Osteen. Praise God for Joel Osteen. Amen. Keep criticizing him. The more you criticize him, the more God's going to bless him. Thanks for putting him through the ringer. Pastor Joel Osteen, he tells how his mother, Dodie, she prayed for a certain entertainer who lived in Houston. She'd see his name up on the billboards where he was performing. And she never met him. She didn't know him. But she read that his parents were missionaries. And he came from a family of faith. But in his teenage years, he started, you know, running with the wrong crowd. And he ended up on drugs. And instead of playing in churches, he's playing in bars and clubs. And so Pastor Dodie, she could have thought, well, you know, too bad, nothing I can do about it. You know, such a pity, he's off course. But instead, every time she saw his name, under her breath, she'd say a prayer. Lord, help him to get back on course. Help him to fulfill his destiny. Amen. Just a simple prayer. This went on year after year. Didn't look like anything was happening. I mean, it looked like she was wasting her breath. But when you pray, things are changing. Say, when I pray, things are changing. Behind the scenes, God is working. Your prayers are coming up to the throne like incense. And you know, one Sunday, out of the blue, this gentleman that she'd been praying for showed up at Lakewood Church. And he sat in the very back. This is before they went into the new building, when they were in when Pastor John was still the pastor. It was Joel's dad. And someone went and told Pastor Dodie, because they recognized him. They went and told her who's in the service. So she went back and she gave him a hug and she told him how she'd been praying for him all these years. You know, that day was a turning point. He felt loved. He felt accepted. A few months later, Bill Nash. Anyone ever heard of Bill Nash? Bill Nash gave his first Christian concert at Lakewood Church. And for the last 30 years, he's been using his gifts and talents to bring honor to the Lord. And you know what? Maybe that wouldn't have happened if Pastor Doherty hadn't prayed for him. Maybe Bill would still be off course, still going down the wrong path, if she'd not gone before God and prayed on his behalf. Well, you know, Steve, that's just one person. Yes, but you may be the one person that God is counting on. Your prayers may be what causes that young lady of the office to change her life. Instead of talking about her, instead of judging her, looking at all she's done wrong, why don't you take time to pray for her? Do you know you cannot criticize someone you're praying for? I've never heard. Who would ever criticize someone that you're praying for? I'm going to pray for Kirsty. I'm going to pray the Lord to guide her. I'm going to pray the Lord to help her, strengthen her. And I'm going to say, Kirsty, I tell you what, she is something else, baby. Right. Who would do that? Right. Talking about that person at the office is not going to help them to improve. But pray will break the chains that are holding her back. Morning, after you thank God for the day, and after you ask Him for your dreams and for your needs, take time to go to God for her. Amen. Maybe nobody's praying for her. Maybe she's a James. You need to turn her into a Peter. You don't have to tell her about it. You don't have to make a big scene.
Well, I just want you to know, young lady, I'm praying for you. Did you straighten up? Oh,
no. In your private time, you just ask God. You may not even say anything to her. You just ask God to help her. The scripture calls this standing in the gap for people. Some people are too far off course to ever get back on their own. They're too discouraged. They've got too many obstacles. It's going to take you and me practically. Ezekiel 22 verse 30 says this: I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the sake of the land, that I would not destroy it. But I found no one. I searched for somebody who would stand in the gap on behalf of the land, behalf of the people. God is looking for people who will stand in the gap on behalf of others and pray. He's searching for people. You see, in those days, the cities had these huge walls around them to protect them from enemies. But sometimes there would be a broken place in the wall. Something, you know, happened that created a gap. The enemy would be able to get through that gap. So they would have an armed soldier. One of their most powerful warriors would stand in the gap until the wall could be repaired. Listen, all around us there's people who have broken walls.
Amen.
They've gotten off course. Relationship didn't work out. They're fighting an illness, depression, loneliness. There's a breach in their wall. Maybe they don't even know the Lord. God is asking you, will you stand in the gap? Will you cover them while they're down? Will you not let the enemy overtake them? Let me tell you, when you see somebody in need, somebody fighting a battle, don't be passive and unmoved about it. Be that warrior who stands in the gap.
Right.
Speak victory over their life. Take authority over the forces of darkness that are influencing them.
Yeah.
The right attitude is, if you mess with them, you're messing with me, and no weapon formed against me or them is going to prosper.
Amen.
Lift them up and pray. Let them know they're not alone. Take time to encourage them. Sometimes it's just a simple text. Hey, I'm praying for you. You're going to get through this. That's all it takes to lift their spirits. I thank God for the people who prayed for me when I've had a gap in my wall. Many of you covered me in prayer, and I thank you for praying for me. Like me, you've had people stand in the gap for you. And let me, because you didn't get where you are by yourself.
Amen.
Those people, oh, I'm a self-made man. Nobody helped me. Nobody helped me.
Meanwhile, you had a mother praying for you your whole life long.
Amen.
We've got a responsibility. Family, what's given to us, we've got a responsibility to give it to others.
Amen.
If someone around you has a broken down wall, life hasn't turned out the way they thought, that's your cue to step up and make a difference.
Amen.
I mean, like, you know, last week I heard about Nick and Deanne. I don't know if they're here today, but Nick and Deanne, there you are, Nick.
Yes.
Your daughter Rachel,
yeah,
was in a car accident. There's several broken bones, bones in her back, different things. They end up in hospital. And when I heard about it, I felt sorry for them. It broke my heart. But you know, my sorry is not enough. That's when you've got to make it your mission to stand in the gap every morning. Lord, strengthen that family. Heal their wounds. Give them beauty for ashes. Thank you for restoring Rachel's up. How many of you know prayer is going to do a lot more than sympathy? You know, one time the Israelites got off course, and after all that God had done for them, delivered them from slavery, parted the Red Sea, gave them food out in the desert, at one point they started worshiping a golden calf. Having wild parties, getting drunk, acting immoral. God was angry with them. He was going to destroy them. But Moses went up on the mountain. And for 40 days he fasted and prayed, asking God for mercy, not for himself, but for the Israelites. And the Bible says in Psalm 106, verse 23, therefore he said he would not destroy them. And he would have done so had not Moses, his chosen one, stepped into the gap before him to turn away his wrath and destroy them.
Amen.
God was going to destroy them, but Moses stood in the gap and prayed for them, and they were spared. You may know people that are off course, maybe a friend, a family member, a co-worker, they're making wrong choices. They know better, but they're doing it anyway. That's where the Israelites were. They knew better, but they're doing it anyway. God was ready to destroy these 2 million people. But because one man stood in the gap, God changed his mind. Will you do like Moses and stand in the gap for people around you that are not doing right? You know, it's so easy to criticize. It's so easy to find fault. But you can be the one who makes a difference. I want the psalmist to be able to put my name in that scripture and put your name in that scripture. God would have destroyed them had not Pam stood in the gap, had not Liz stood in the gap, had not Maria stood. I would have destroyed them if Andrew hadn't stood in the gap and prayed. I've learned if you're not standing in the gap and praying, most likely you'll be standing in judgment. I've made up my mind I'm going to be a gap stander. I'm going to be a people lifter. I'm going to take time every day to help people, to pray them into their destiny.
Amen.
How about you?
Amen.
Do you have any other people that will stand down to see? I'm going to pray for others. Matthew chapter 8, a Roman centurion came to Jesus. He was commander of 100 men. He was a very influential, very well-respected man. He told Jesus that his servant was sick and in pain, and he traveled a great distance, not to ask something for himself, but for his servant. In fact, in Luke's account, in the New Living Translation, says he was a slave, a highly valued slave. Now, this well-respected, influential man was standing in the gap for someone that most people would have written off. So you've got to understand, at that time, they bought and sold slaves all the time. But this commander was different. He loved the servant. And I can imagine when he headed out to meet Jesus, people were asking, where are you going? Do you need healing? I mean, is something wrong with you? Do you need a miracle? He said, no, I'm going on behalf of my servant. He was standing in the gap for the least of these. For someone that society would have written off and said, they're not important. This man was standing in the gap for him. When he arrived, Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. He said, no, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come into my home. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. When Jesus heard that, he was so amazed. He said, I haven't seen such great faith in all of Israel. He said, go home, because what you have believed has happened.
Hallelujah.
Do you know what's interesting to me? This Roman centurion wasn't even a Jew. He wasn't Jewish. He didn't come from the same faith. Yet Jesus said, you have more faith than all these people that have been around me. You know that shows me? God isn't looking at what family you come from. God isn't looking at how you were raised. God isn't looking at how religious you are. Family, you know what gets God's attention? When you are concerned about the least of these, when you stand in the gap for those who are less fortunate, God calls that great faith, and that's when He'll show up and He will do amazing things. That gets His attention, family. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You know, in the scripture, Joseph was falsely accused. He was put in prison. And he would be there for many years. He spent 13 years in prison. And there were two other main people around him, Pharaoh's butler and his baker. And one night the butler had a dream, and Joseph was able to interpret the dream. He told the butler he's going to get out of prison, he's going to be restored to his position. The butler was so excited, he was so grateful to Joseph for his help, he promised, when I get out, I'm going to tell Pharaoh about you. I'm going to put in a good word for you with Pharaoh. And just like Joseph said, the butler got out, he was restored to his position, but the Bible says he forgot all about Joseph. Joseph had helped him. Now when Joseph needed his help, the butler was nowhere to be found. Do you know, all of us have been where that butler is. Someone helped us. Someone gave us a good break. Someone prayed for us when we were down. They stood in the gap for us. Let's not be like that butler. Let's stand in the gap for somebody else. You blessed, now be a blessing. God answers your prayer, now pray for somebody else. The truth is, none of us would be where we are on our own. I had my mother praying for me. My wife praying for me. I had many of you praying for me. Now I pray for my children. I pray for my grandchildren. And you know, they're going to see good breaks and favor and mercy because I've taken time to pray for them.
Amen.
And my wife prays for them.
Amen.
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 You know, after David died, Solomon's son was not making good choices. He got off course. And God was going to take the throne away from him. But God said to him in 1 Kings chapter 11, he said, for the sake of your father David, I will not do this while you are still alive. I will take away the kingdom from your son. Even so, I will not take away the entire kingdom. I will let you be king of one tribe for the sake of my servant David. You know how powerful that is? When you not only live a life that honors God, but when you pray for your children, family, when you pray for your children, God says, I'm not going to do it because of your father. A great way to stand in the gap and pray for others is praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It says, now we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, and those who are called according to his purpose. You see, when you pray in tongues, when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying with the supernatural help, wisdom, guidance of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says you're praying according to the will of God. And it causes everything to work together and come together for your good.
Amen.
One of the most powerful ways you can pray for someone else is praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
I want you to know that Pastor Jill and I pray in tongues for you all the time. We pray in tongues for you every week. We pray in the Spirit for our children, for our family, for our grandchildren. It's such a powerful way to intercede. Because the Bible says when I don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit helps me to pray according to the will of God. He helps me to make a decision. I can pray God's will for you even when I don't know everything that's going on. I don't know the details, but He does. When I pray in the Spirit, I'm praying the perfect will of God into your life. There's no telling what things have happened and what things have not happened because, or what things didn't take place because we prayed in the Spirit. Amen?
Yeah.
I want you today, as we come to a close with this, I want you to think about and look around who's in your life. Are there some James, people who without you praying will not fulfill their destiny? I'm asking you to turn them into a Peter. I'm asking you to make it your mission to pray for them, to stand in the gap, to ask God to bless them. Amen? Because if you'll do this, family, if you'll be someone who'll stand in the gap, I believe the seed that you sow is going to come back to you. Like Job, as you pray for others, you're going to see your prayers answered. You're going to see your healing come. You're going to see the fullness of your destiny. You're going to see that breakthrough you've been believing for. Let me tell you, when you pray for somebody else,
amen,
you're sowing a seed that will come back to you.
Amen.
And you say amen?
Amen.
Now, on your seat today, when you came in, there's a little card. It says 20 people list. I want to encourage you to keep this somewhere, maybe your Bible. Some of you don't seem to carry Bibles, but put it, I don't know, in your handbag, put it somewhere, where your wallet. Because what you want to do is you want to write down the names of people that you feel the Lord is leading you to pray for them. It might be a family member, it might be a co-worker, it might just be somebody that you meet today when you go down here, or when you go down here to have somebody, maybe you bump into someone, and you feel the Lord telling you to pray. Put them on your list and pray. And one of the best things to pray is pray that they'll be saved. Pray that they'll come to know the Lord. Pray for their salvation. Amen? But I'm going to encourage you to pray for other people. That's one way to help you to remember, is to pray for other people. And then you know what? I was so thrilled. You know that today's been declared by our president as a National Day of Prayer? I want to read you the proclamation our president put out there about today as a National Day of Prayer. And I want to say this. Listen to me. That I would read this and I would pray this no matter who the president was. Whether I voted for him or whether I didn't. I want you to know it doesn't matter to me whether I voted for the man or whether I didn't. When you have a president that is calling for prayer, we as the church need to rise up and pray. And so, President Trump proclaimed September 3rd as a national day of prayer for the victims of Hurricane Harvey and for our national response and recovery efforts. Can we move that on? Is that the whole thing?
That's the proclamation. He has a two-page...
That's what I wanted.
Okay.
Let me see. Where do I have that? I want to read the whole thing. And we're going to pray. Here we go. All right. I want to read this. Because I just thought it was so good, man. Here we go. Hurricane Harvey first made landfall as a Category 4 storm near Rockport, Texas on the evening of August 25th. The storm has since devastated communities in both Texas and Louisiana, claiming many lives, inflicting countless injuries, destroying or damaging tens of thousands of homes, and causing billions of dollars in damage. The entire nation grieves with Texas and Louisiana. We are deeply grateful for those performing acts of service, and we pray for healing and comfort for those in need. Americans have always come to the aid of their fellow countrymen, friend helping friend, neighbor helping neighbor, and stranger helping stranger. And we vow to do so now in response to Hurricane Harvey. From the beginning of our nation, Americans have joined together in prayer during times of great need to ask God's blessing and guidance. This tradition dates back to June 12, 1775, when the Continental Congress proclaimed the Day of Prayer following the Battle of Lexington and Concord, and April 30, 1789, when President George Washington, during the nation's first presidential inauguration, asked Americans to pray for God's protection and favor. When we look across Texas and Louisiana, we see the America's spirit of service embodied by countless men and women. Brave first responders have rescued those stranded in drowning cars and rising water. Families have given food and shelter to those in need. Houses of worship have organized efforts to clean up communities and repair damaged homes. Individuals of every background are striving for the same goal, to aid and comfort people facing devastating losses. As Americans, we know that no challenge is too great for us to overcome. As response and recovery efforts continue, and as Americans provide much needed relief to the people of Texas and Louisiana, we are reminded of the scripture's promise that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Melania and I are grateful to everyone devoting time, effort, and resources to the ongoing response, recovery, and rebuilding efforts. We invite all Americans to join us as we continue to pray for those who have lost family members and friends, and for those who are suffering in this time of crisis. Now, therefore, I, Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America, do hereby proclaim September 3rd as National Day of Prayer for the victims of Hurricane Harvey and for our national response and recovery efforts. We give thanks for the generosity and goodness of all those who have responded to the needs of their fellow Americans. I urge Americans of all faiths and religions, traditions, and backgrounds to offer prayers today for those harmed by Hurricane Harvey, including people who have lost family members, been injured, those who have lost homes and even other property, and our first responders, law enforcement officers, military personnel, medical professionals leading the response and recovery effort, each of us in our own way, may call upon our God for strength and comfort during this difficult time. I call on all Americans and houses of worship throughout the nations to join in one voice of prayer as we seek to uplift one another and assist those suffering from the consequences of this terrible storm.
Amen.
Let me tell you right now, when a hurricane hits Houston, it doesn't matter with you, Democrat or Republican, we're together. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
How many believe we should pray for our nation today? How many believe we should join all the other Christians and churches around this nation and lift up America in prayer? How many of you know there's another hurricane out there? How many of you believe we should speak to that hurricane and command it to dissipate in the name of Jesus? Amen. Come on, man. Stand up with me. Stand up with me. We're going to pray. Come on, let's pray together. I'll leave it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you today and we lift up and we pray for this nation. We pray specifically for those, Lord, that have been affected by this hurricane in Texas and Louisiana. Father, we pray for those who've suffered loss. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the one who ministers to the brokenhearted. We pray that you would bring strength and comfort and encouragement to those who have lost in any way in the name of Jesus. We pray for the restoration and recovery efforts. We pray, Lord, that you would help the first responders. We pray that you would help them, Lord, that you would bring restoration. We pray that those waters would recede in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father, that you would just help and rescue anyone that still needs to be rescued. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray that you would bless and guide this nation. We pray, Lord, for restoration in Texas and in Louisiana. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you that you are our refuge. We thank you that you are our strength. We thank you that you are our high tower. We thank you that you are the God that we call upon to guide and protect this nation, Father. We proclaim, Jesus, you are Lord over America. We declare Jesus is Lord over America, and we declare, God bless this great nation. Father, we speak to that hurricane that is out there right now. In the name of Jesus, we command you to dissipate. We command you to dissipate in Jesus' name. We command you to be gone. We command you to cease. In the name of Jesus, you will not come to Florida. You will not come to the United States. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your protection. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you. You are a God who restores. We praise you in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand of praise. I want to ask you to be seated, if you would. I want to mention this to you, that the Lord's been stirring me a lot concerning prayer. Beginning next Sunday, we are going to start intercessory prayer before the service from 9:15 to 9:45. We're going to be praying in the boardroom out there. Pam Sayeg is going to be leading the prayer group. I will be there, but I don't want to lead. I want her to lead the group. And so every Sunday morning, you're welcome to join in between 9:15 and 9:45. We're going to pray every Sunday. We're going to pray for our church. We're going to pray for God to move in the service. We're going to pray for people. We're going to pray for our city. We're going to pray for our nation. How many of you believe it's important for us as a church to pray? All right, bow your head for a moment. Close your eyes if you don't mind. While your head is bowed, while your eyes are closed, I want to pray right now for anyone who is here this morning and you are not sure where you stand with God. You are not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord. I want to ask you a question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure, you know for certain, that if you die today, you know you'd go to heaven? Or do you have to be honest and said, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you if you died today, are you sure? Are you absolutely certain that you would go to heaven? Because the good news is you can be sure about that. You can know for sure. You can walk out of this place this morning and you can know that when you die, heaven is where you will spend all of eternity. Heaven is real. There is a heaven to gain. There's a heaven that awaits us. And there is a hell to shun. And I want to pray for anyone here this morning. This is Pastor Steve, pray for me. Include me in your prayer. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to know that all is right, all is well between me and the Lord. Friend, if that's you, I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you're sitting, while we have our heads bowed, while we have our eyes closed, this is between you and God today. But if you're not sure where you stand with God, and if you're not sure what would happen to you if you died, please let me pray for you. Because you're not here by an accident today. I believe you're here because God destined you to be here. And then you're at a point of decision right now. Will you choose? Will you choose to accept this gift of eternal life that Jesus came to bring us? So if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. Include me in your prayer. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I want to make sure everything is right, everything is well between me and God. Pray for me. If that's you, I want you quickly right now just to lift your hand up high. Just slip your hand up right now. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Anybody? All right. I didn't see anybody's hands raised. So look up for me. Look up at me for a moment if you would. Praise God. Now, before we close the service today, there's one other thing that I want to do. I want to ask Dan and Rachel to quickly come stand up here with me. Dan and Rachel, how many of you know Dan and Rachel? Dan has been on staff. They've been on staff with us for just over 4 years now, and a great blessing to us. And Dan's really the only full-time staff member that we have at this time. And Rachel has been director. Yeah, he wears a lot of hats. I couldn't just tell you what Dan does because there's a lot of different things Dan does. But and Rachel's been director of children's ministry for the past 4 years as well, I think. And they're a great blessing to us and a great blessing to this church. Don't you agree?
Amen.
Dan and Rachel rent, they live in a condo. They rent a condo in kind of, would you say, a little rough part of town. And sometimes you're even concerned driving to where you live. And so they have an opportunity to be able to, for the first time in their life, to be able to buy a townhome in Royal Palm Beach. And because Dan's service in the Navy, were you 6 years or 4 years?
4 years.
4 years in the Navy. Because of his service in the Navy, he's able to qualify for a VA loan. And so all they need to buy this home is $5,000. And when I heard that, I felt like we should help them. I would like them to get into their own home. And so what I want to do today is I want to receive an offering to help them to get this home. I believe the Lord wants them to have this.
Amen.
How about you?
Amen.
You know, God's been doing something in giving people homes. Liz, where'd she go?
Yes.
Liz was blessed with her very first home just a few weeks ago. Maria just bought her first home. These are both single moms a few weeks ago. You know, I believe because you've given and supported God's house, God's blessed you with your own.
Amen.
And let me tell you, tell you, Dan and Rachel have sacrificed, and they work very hard for this church. And I want to help them. They don't have the $5,000. I want to help them. If you want to help them, no pressure, but if you want to help them, then whatever you give today, we're going to give to them.
Amen.
Is that a deal?
Amen.
Does that sound good?
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for Dan and Rachel. We thank you for their faithfulness toward you, Lord. They've served you for many years, not just in this church, but in other churches. And we thank you for bringing them to us. We appreciate what a blessing they are to us, Lord. And I just thank you for making a way for them to get in their own home, Lord. I know this is your will. And I just thank you, Father, for everyone who's going to give to help them today. And I thank you for blessing every giver today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. God bless you. All right. Thank you, Dad and Rachel. Now, one last thing before we leave today, and that is, how many of you know what's happening at our church in 2 weeks' time? We have Kevin Zadat. Did you get these when you came in?
Yes.
Look on your seat. Just you should be on your seat. Ushers, James, when the folks leave today, did you put one on each chair?
Yes.
I want everyone to have five. And they go out the doors. Usher, I want you handing them out. I want to ask you to invite five people to come to this Kevin Sadar meeting. Show the video, please. 2 weeks' time, Kevin Sadar is going to be with us. Let's watch the video, then we'll close the service. Opposition signals promotion. That's next Sunday. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you.